If you have your Bibles, open to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We've been back from Australia for a couple weeks, or about a week and a half, and it was an amazing trip, and you'll probably hear more about it as we go along here, but just saw a lot of fruit from the seed we've sown over. This is our fourth year we've gone, and just a lot of fruit from the seeds that have been planted previously, and pastors getting on board, and so we're very encouraged. Doors are opened up to three more nations while we're there, if the Lord desires. Papua New Guinea, Philippines, and Pakistan. It looks like we'll be going to Pakistan in February. But I just want to thank Nate and Kristen for an amazing job they do here, watching out for the fort while we're gone. Amen. We can't do what we do and some of these things without strong leadership here and folks here, so we're very grateful. Now, I just want to let you know, we're not looking for places to go. I mean, I don't really know if I want to go to Pakistan, but if the Lord desires that, and just so you know, that we're only going to go places where, to do things that only we can do. If other folks can go, then they need to go. But if it has to do with the I Give Life message or training up believers, that's a calling that we have for this church, then, and if there's a door for that, we can be an influence there, then we'll go. So just be praying about things, and I think there's going to be opportunities for you to go on these trips if you desire to go. I know on this last trip, I mean, we could have had some people from Good News Church doing some outreach. Would have been amazing training for pastors and different folks. So we'll just see what the Lord has. But God's good, and He's leading us, and we're just going to follow Him. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, it says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things." The previous verse is talking about the love of money, one of the things. "Flee these things and pursue righteousness." I like that. "Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called." We talked about callings. "Called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Now, I like this part, "fight the good fight of faith." Let's say that together. Fight the good fight of faith. Did you know we're in a fight? Did you know we're in a battle? It's a battle between good and evil, between God and His enemy, Satan. And we many people today, they don't even know there is a battle. There isn't a fight. So they're at a great disadvantage if they're in a battle and they don't even know that they are in one. But I think people here, here at Good News Church, we know that we're in a fight, that we're going through battles, we're going through different circumstances. And I want the people of Good News Church, because of our mission to empower people to give life, I want you to be able to fight that good fight of faith. I want you to be able to fight it and to win. And not just win every once in a while, but for you to be skilled to win every time. I mean, that's God's plan. Victory every single time. So I wanted to share a few things. Been walking with Jesus for a long time and learned a few things. So I just want to share some of these things today about fighting the good fight of faith. The first question that I have for you is, who are we fighting? So turn over your Bibles to John 10, verse 10. I mean, this is one of those verses we have shared so many times over the years. If you're a member here, you ought to have this highlighted, underlined, circled, starred, arrows pointing towards it. I mean, whatever you can do, this is just one of those verses. John 10:10 says this, "The thief." Who's the thief? Satan. Who's the thief? Satan. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's his mission. That's his job. That's his purpose. And that's what he's doing 24/7. And that's what he's trying to do in your life. That's what he's trying to do to you. That's what he's trying to do to your household. That's what he's trying to do to your pets. I mean, anybody that's have anything, you know, close to you, he wants to steal, kill, and to destroy. And we need to be aware of that. And we need to have an understanding of that. And if he can't get to you, he'll get to those that are close to you. And that's why, I mean, that's why we need a church. That's why we need support. That's why we need people around us. But then Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So this clearly defines the role of the devil and the role of God. And so this will help you to know who you're fighting, because if you think that this situation, this, you know, the things that you're going through are from God, then you're not going to resist it. You have to know what's from God. And I think maybe early on, I mean, you know, my grandmother, bless her heart, I love my grandmother, godly woman, big impact on my life, and still things that she told me when I was younger, I think about today. I mean, just good, solid advice. But my grandmother had some doctrine issues because of the church that she was raised in that just didn't make any sense. And she believed that sickness was from God as a test to build her faith. So she felt that suffering was from God and that it was a blessing and that it was something good. But I could never understand why she would go to the doctor. She was on these medications. She would take these things. She'd go to the doctor. That didn't make any sense to me. It was kind of a contradiction, and I didn't have the guts to say it to her. But so she believed. She wasn't, even though she took medication, she wasn't spiritually resisting sickness and disease. She thought that was from God. So do you see how that's a problem? How can you fight something that you think is from God? Why would you want to do that? If it's from God, then we want to accept it. But see, clearly here it says, you know, so things that are, this is so obvious to us that have heard this, but there's people here today, they don't know these things, so we have to say them. If it's stealing, this is how you can know. If it's stealing from you, if it's killing something in your life, if it's destroying something in your life, that's from Satan. Now, if it's bringing abundance, and the Amplified says a life overflowing with good things, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Now, good things. So this is a good thing. And so I'll just name a couple things, you tell me who's this from. Sickness. So is that something we should resist?
Yes.
How about poverty? How about strife? Persecution. All right, this is an easy one. How about joy? Love. Peace. All right, how about your car breaking down? Well, I don't know if Satan's involved in your car breaking down, because you don't take very good care of it, actually. But certainly, if you don't have the money to pay for the repairs, or you're getting ripped off, or all those things, certainly now it gets into Satan's territory. So, I mean, I don't believe, I mean, if I have a hangnail this morning, I'm not like rebuking the devil. So we need a little common sense, a little wisdom in things, because people can get carried away and they see like a demon behind every situation. But you can use John 10:10 as a good benchmark, as a dividing line to know where things are coming from. So who am I fighting? We're fighting the enemy. We're fighting Satan. Next question, or next statement, I'll just say, Jesus has already won the fight. Look over, I'll just put it up on the screen, and I'm going to read this from the Message translation. Okay, if I come down here on the floor so I can see the whites of your eyes. Colossians 2, verse 13, I want to read this from the Message translation. And you need to know this when you're going through things. You have to have this understanding. Colossians 2, verse 13, Message. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. Praise God. The slate wiped clean. The old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. And I'm a student of history and read a lot of books on different parts of American history, but I've studied Roman history. And the Romans, what they like to do when they defeated a foe, they would parade the prisoners naked through the streets of Rome, the king. And then they would throw things at them and spit on them and all of these things. But they paraded them through the streets. And because the victory is complete. These guys are never going to be a problem again. They're defeated. And this is something we have to know. Whatever you're going through today, you already have to, you need to know Jesus has already won the victory. He won it 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And you have to come through, have that mentality of a place of victory. Now here's a good question, because the enemy will test you with this. He will say, well, you've got sin in your life. Or you've made mistakes, or you've done things to cause that. And that may be true. But you have to realize you are in Christ. You are in Him, and you're not facing the devil or facing your circumstances based on your righteousness. You're basing it on the righteousness that you have in Christ. So you have a right standing with God. Even if you've missed it, even if you've made mistakes, you've got a position of strength and you've got a position of victory. And we identify with victory. And you need to know this. Even in the darkest day, I mean, you may be down for the count. They may be banging the countdown. You may feel like there's no hope. It's over. But in the midst of that, you have to know you've got victory. Jesus won it 2,000 years ago. You're in Him. You're seated. And the enemy will make you feel like you're not. I got chill bumps here. You're seated with Him in heavenly places. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings. And it's not based on your performance, on how good you are, or your natural abilities. The enemy wants to get you over in the natural territory. But we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. And you know, and there's like, I don't know, you've all had these kind of situations. I remember I was working for an international paper. And have you ever had these people in your life, and this sounds really bad, but they're like a devil from hell. I mean, you've never had that, have you? But it just seems like there's somebody out to get you. And I've had that, and so I was dealing with this particular guy, and the problem was, I mean, if I didn't have to deal with them, that's one thing, but I got to deal with him on a daily basis. I got to call him. I got to ask him for things. And he's just like antagonizing me. And so what do? You try to deal with it in the natural. You be nice to him, give him gifts, you know, whatever. I mean, do anything you can do to try to win the guy over. But you've tried all those natural things, and it just seems like it's getting worse. Now, is this guy demon-possessed? I mean, maybe. I don't think so. Seems like it. But he's certainly being influenced. And so I've got to realize, I mean, if I'm trying to deal with it in the natural realm, and God may give you things to do, but if I'm trying to deal with it in the natural realm, I'm not going to get anywhere where that's in Satan's territory. So what I started to do in this particular, I started praying for the guy, asking God for wisdom, showing me what to do instead of just trying to do natural things. And I saw this guy, and it was a period of time, I saw him change, and we became friends. And I was actually able to witness to him. But we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And see, again, he was not demon-possessed, but he was being influenced. So I had to deal with spiritual things. But you got to have that foundation of victory. That's one of my confessions. He always causes me to triumph. 1 Corinthians 15, I have the victory. Having that mindset of victory. All righty. Well, then this is good too. You got to realize Satan's under your feet. Lack, it's under my feet. Poverty, it's under my feet. This trial and this test, it's under my feet. And so, I mean, it's trying to make me think it's not. It's trying to make me think this thing's bigger than God. Well, this is the situation that's finally bigger than God. Well, my Bible says, greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. My God is bigger than the devil, defeated him already. I'm his child. And so Satan is under my feet. Amen. Woo! It's time for me to do a little dance. You got to know that. He's under my feet. Third thing is, we need to enforce the victory. 1 Peter 5. Let's read that. 1 Peter 5. Got to hurry so I can get to where I want to go here. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. I'm reading the Amplified Version. It says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, the enemy of yours, the devil, there is a devil. I mean, we have a lot of believers today that are in church. They don't believe in heaven or hell. But there's a devil. There's an adversary. There's demons. There's angels. Read your Bible. For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour, steal, kill, and destroy. Withstand him. Be firm in the faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. Now, Pastor Nate here did an awesome series on believe. He talked about faith. When you're fighting the good fight, it's in faith. And there are some, you know, intimidating circumstances. There are some dark days. There are some hopeless days. And it's going to take faith. But you are the one to enforce the victory that was already won 2,000 years ago. God has done all he's going to do about the devil. So if we're waiting on him to do something about this situation, it doesn't make any sense. He's already done it. That's right. What else can he do besides send Jesus and for Jesus to pay the price? What other things, I mean, what does he need to do? What else can he do? And this is the hard part of it. We're the ones that have to put the word in there. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're the ones that have to open our mouths and speak God's word in the circumstances. Now, is that easy to do? Some days you don't feel like it. Some days it seems like you're just talking to the wall. But you keep on doing it. We believe. We believe the word. We believe what God says. And so we're the ones with the authority to enforce things. I remember we had a situation here at the church, and they were the city, Augusta, was changing out a storm drain through the middle of our parking lot. And so they've got an easement rights and to, you know, 10 feet right through the middle of our parking lot. And they came with their big equipment and all their trucks and everything, and they began to work and ended up, you know, changing out this pipe. They went from a metal to a concrete. The metal was leaking and, you know, causing problems in the parking lot. Wasn't working properly, so they went to a concrete sewer drain. I mean, this whole area, the neighborhood, the water comes through our parking lot. Isn't that special? But they began, and after a while, we began to notice they're tearing up our parking lot. I mean, not just tearing it up, I mean big holes. There were already some problems, but they're tearing up big holes in our parking lot. And so I waited till the project was finished. But then I went to the city and said, hey, you know, come on out here and look at this thing. And they come out there, and you know how it is. I mean, with any of us, we're trying to get out of it. They begin to tell me all the problems we had with our parking lot. It was a faulty parking lot. I did it. You know, the foundation's bad, it's been damaged, and you know, it makes you mad. You ever get mad? And the process went on, and I'm talking to people, and person after person, they're all the same story. It's your fault. You're going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to take care of it. You know, we've been gracious enough to change this thing out. Now the rest of it's your responsibility. Well, that's not right. Their machinery tore up our parking lot. I mean, I know right from wrong. Don't you? But it got me mad. And so, like, I'd have the meetings with the guys, and I would get in the flesh. Now, I know you've never gotten in the flesh. Now, I wanted to cuss, but because they were calling me pastor, I didn't. And some of you here are better at cussing anyway. I wish you would have been there. You would have. I mean, I'm not very good. I don't even know how to put the words together the right way. I'd probably say it wrong. But I was so mad. I was so mad I wanted to cuss. Your pastor wanted to cuss. I mean, I wanted to have a fit. And there was times, I mean, I wanted to grab one of the guys and just slap him around. Now, you've never been there, I know, because you are so holy. But I was getting in the flesh, and I was getting mad, and Gary was with me, and Gary was calm. He's the man of faith. And thank God for Gary, because, I mean, I just about blew it. And I contemplated. I am sorry to admit it, because I know the Bible. I was talking to lawyers, getting ready to sue the city of Augusta. Wouldn't that have been a lot of fun? But I'm just telling you, you just get in the natural, you get mad, you get in the flesh, you get in the enemy's territory, he's having a field day, and then one day, I don't know if it was Gary, but one day I just had to wake up and say, hey, who am I dealing with here? This has all the earmarks of the enemy, stealing, killing, and destroying, and here I am wrestling with people. And did God already win the victory about the parking lot? Does he already got a great parking lot for? I mean, is that something? I mean, he supplies all of our needs. But see, I am fighting the bad fight. I'm fighting in the wrong way. I'm fighting in the natural. I'm fighting in the flesh. I'm fighting with emotions. I'm fighting in anger. And I just want to tell you, that will get you nowhere. That will get you nowhere, and that will make the situation compound an already bad situation. So I had to step back. I had to go to the Word. The same things we all have. Go to the Word. What does the Word of God say? Find my platform of my foundation of faith. What does the Word say? And then begin to pray about this situation. And then, you know, Lord, give me wisdom. Because, I mean, He's not going to deal with the devil, but He will give you wisdom. Yes. He'll give you understanding. He'll give you revelation. He'll show you the way to go. He'll show you how to walk it out. Steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. Being led by the Spirit of God. And yeah, it may be a minefield that you're walking through, but the Spirit of God knows how to guide you through that whole thing. If you're going to look to Him. See, you got to make it. Now, there are natural things that you do, but you're moving from a spiritual position. You're moving by being led by the Spirit as opposed to the flesh. And the Spirit of God's there to guide you. He's the counselor. He's the teacher. He wants to speak to us. But the big question is, do we want to listen? So over a period of time, and I repented, and I had to call one guy back and apologize. You know, because he was mad with me. He was even madder, you know. So he's getting mad, I'm getting mad. And then I began to just get wisdom, and then begin to deal with the influence behind the whole thing, which is the enemy. Take authority. Take my authority. God's already won the victory. The battle's been won already, but I need to walk it out and I need to enforce it. So I took authority over that influence in the name of Jesus. And from that point on, things began to change. And I began to meet with the same people. Their attitudes changed. Now I'm being gracious and kind and loving. And that we are able to come to agreement and able to work it out. And I'm grateful. I mean, the city of Augusta, they paid about $85,000 to have a lot of our parking lot redone. And they did a good job. They had the best vendor, contractor in the city, in the area to do it. But had I just continued on. So we need to enforce it. And again, it's Nate's talked about it, you know, believing is by faith. I believe, therefore I speak. Taking, you know, dealing with the enemy. And again, it doesn't have to be screaming and yelling. It's just in the name of Jesus. Now, this is where I want to go. Turn over to James chapter 1. And I don't know who this is for. This is for somebody today. James chapter 1. And this is just like one of those scriptures you just wish you could just tear out of the Bible. You have any of those scriptures? I wish we were one of those churches that could just tear things out. Tongues, we don't like tongues. Gifts of the Spirit. Miracles. Love. James 1, verse 2. My brethren, my sisterin, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Woo! Praise God! Isn't that good news? Woo! Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Isn't that great? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Message Bible says, tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Don't raise your hand, but does anybody kind of feel like that today? Well, they're raising hands anyway. Okay. That's really serious. Tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Amplified says, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort and to fall into various temptations. So it's trials, it's tests, it's temptations. And are they from God? They're not from God. But what's the purpose of the trial and the test? That's something you need to know. What's the purpose of the trial or test? The purpose from the enemy is to steal your faith. The purpose from the enemy is for you to quit. The purpose from the enemy is for you to draw back. Purpose from the enemy is for you to kind of go through the motions. You ever done that? But you have to realize this test or this trial has a definitive end. At the end of the trial, the one who is tested should emerge stronger and purer from testing. Again, God's not doing it. He's not the author of it. But the situation you're going through, if you walk and stay with Him, you're going to come out stronger and better. These sorrows, disappointments come to take away our faith. Temptation comes to lead us away. And we don't rejoice in the trial, but in the victorious outcome. Now, the early church had trials. Now, I'm not making light of your trial. I'm not making light of what you're going through. But here's some of the things that they were dealing with. They were thrown into rooms with hungry lions. They were burned at the stake. They were nailed to a cross. They were thrown in prison. They were beaten. They were whipped. So that kind of maybe helps us a little bit to put things in perspective. Did you know since 1900, 29 million believers have died for their faith? Isn't that something? 29 million believers have died for their faith. Right now, as we sit here in our air-conditioned building, in our nice cushy chairs, people are dying for their faith. Isn't it amazing? And I hope that here, you know, that that we're those kind of people. I'm not wanting you to die for your faith. Now, don't get me wrong. But I hope that we're not kind of just a puff of smoke kind of church and, you know, we talk about these things, that we're actually the real deal. That if the pressure got so great and it involved our lives, we would not compromise. And not deny Jesus, not reject Him. That's kind of heavy, too heavy for today. But it talks about patience here. These trials and this pressure and this testing produces patience. Now, in the early church, they even called it this, the patience was the queen of all virtues. And what this word means is to remain in one spot, to keep your position, to resolve to maintain the territory. And what it's saying is, this is my spot and I'm not moving. And it was used as a military term for those that are ordered to take territory or keep territory in fierce combat. Can you imagine? I mean, you're trying to keep some land or take a hill, and you've got bullets flying all around you. I mean, that's amazing. What courage, what conviction, what belief. Stand your ground. Keep what has been gained. And how long do you stand? How long do you stand? You stand until the enemy realizes he's been beaten, because he doesn't know he's been beaten. He still thinks he can win. Until the enemy realizes he has beaten and decides to retreat. That's how long you stand. And that's what the trial and the test is producing, this patience. And one translation says endurance. It's being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, unflinching. Never give up. A couple translations say this. They call this patience staying power. I like that. Or hang in their power. Now, I've been pastoring this illustrious church. It is. I've been pastoring this church for 19 years. 19 years. Did you hear me? Now, during those 19 years, and thank God not today, but during those 19 years, I have wanted to run for the hills. The pressure, the stress, just life, expectations, so many different things. And we say this and we kind of laugh that Susie and I never wanted to quit on the same day. But had we wanted to, and you know what, and this is the reality, better people than us are not in ministry now. Much better people, more gifted. And so, you know, some of these things here, I mean, I've lived it, you know, under the trial by fire. And the thing that really helps me, I guess, is what we talked about a few weeks ago about the calling. What has God said? What has God said? What has God said by the Word? What has God said by the Spirit of God to you? What has God called you to do? And so I'll just stand before you, and I don't know the whole plan of God, but I'm not going anywhere from Good News Church until the Lord leads me. So that'll either make you happy or sad. I don't know which one. But the devil's not going to run me off. Chill bumps. My whole message is determined by chill bumps. Devil's not going to run me off. He can throw all he has at me, but I'm not going to. And the same thing with my marriage. You know, in our marriage, the ministry in our lives revolve around our marriage. And we've been through some tough things. But I am not going to leave unless the Lord tells me to. No. So we go through tests and we go through trials. But you got to, you know, am I going to do it in the natural, which we all do, or I'm going to do it God's way? And He's got a way to fight. And we need a church. We need each other. We don't realize how much we need each other. Thank God for the guy that was in the cot, you know, or he's lame, and his crazy faith friends lowered him through the ceiling. And if you're here today and you don't have the faith to deal with the trial you're going through, it's okay. That's okay. You're okay. You're welcome here. But if it's, you know, 10, 15 years down the road and you've been taught all these things, I'm not saying you can't ask for help, But there comes a time when you should be able to take authority, know how to do it skillfully, and know how to help somebody else. That's the whole thing about empowering people to give life, is for you to be able to do these things. That's the whole thing about the believer's ministry. And so, you know, you may be here today, you may be discouraged, but I just wanted to go ahead and just tell you, encourage you today, whatever you're dealing with, Jesus has won the victory already 2,000 years ago. And to know that victory is yours, and the devil is a liar, and I don't care what it is he's bringing against you, it's got to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And the devil is under me, my feet, and poverty and lack is under my feet. Sickness and disease is under my feet. Strife and division is under my feet. And we're not of those kind of people that draw back. So my prayer today is that even while you're sitting here, that strength is coming. Not from me or from any person, but strength from God. That the Lord is infusing in you inner strength, courage, boldness. You're not going down. You're not going down. You will not fail. And I'm going to go ahead and say this, because for some here today it seems hopeless. The dreams and the visions that you get, He's given you, it shall come to pass. Woo! I'm not giving up on you. Some of you have given up. I'm not going to give up till He takes me home. Rapture, flying through the air. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be encouraged today. Let's learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Let's go to the Word. Let's go back to the Word. And it's okay to talk to other people about your trial, but let's not glorify the trial and get all our attention on the problem. And as everybody we meet, we just talk the problem. I'm not saying that, but it's good to have faith friends. It's good to have people you could talk to and pray with. People are still, and I hope that this church is that way. I hope that we're those kind of people, that we stand with each other. And we may be different and may have personality differences, but we're for people. We're praying for each other. We love each other. We don't want to see anybody fail. We want to do all we can to help others grow in their faith. Hallelujah. Let's just give Him praise right now.